to my good sister, Mrs. Elizabeth Brown. Good sister, God our Father, make perfect the good he hath begun in you unto the end. I am afraid to write unto you, because you so overcharge yourself at all times, even whensoever I do but send to you commendations. I would be more bold on you than many others, and therefore you might suspend so great tokens till I should write unto you of my need, which thing doubtless I would do, if it urged me. Dear sister, I see your unfeigned love to me ward in God, and have done of long time, the which I do recompense with the like, and will do by God's grace so long as I live, and therefore I hope not to forget you, but in my poor prayers to have you in remembrance, as I hope you have me. Otherwise I can do you no service, except it be now, and then by my writing, to let you from better exercise, where yet the end of my writing is to excite and stir up your heart more earnestly, to go forwards in your well-begun enterprise. For you know none shall be crowned, but such as strive lawfully, and none receiveth the glaive, but those that run to the appointed mark. None shall be saved, but such as persist and continue to the very end. Therefore, dear sister, remember that we have need of patience, and when we have done the good will of God, we may receive the promise. Patience and perseverance be the proper notes whereby God's children are known from counterfeits. That they persevere not, were always but hypocrites. Many make godly beginnings, yea, their progress seem marvelous, but yet after, in the end, they fail. These were never of us, saith St. John, for if they had been of us, they would have continued unto the very end. Go to now, therefore, mine own beloved in the Lord, as you have well begun, and well gone forward, so well persist, and happily end. And then all is yours. Though this be sharp and sour, yet it is not tedious and long. Do all that ever you do, simply for God, and as to God. So shall never unkindness, nor any other thing, make you to leave off from well-doing, so long as you may do well. Accustom yourself now to see God continually, that he may be in all unto you. In good things behold his mercy, and apply it unto yourself. In evil things and plagues behold his judgments, wherethrough learn to fear him. Beware of sin, as the serpent of the soul, which spoileth us of all our or nature and seemly apparel in God's sight. Let Christ crucified be your book to study on, and that both day, night and day. Mark your vocation, and be diligent in the works thereof. Use hearty and earnest prayer, and that in spirit. In all things give thanks to God our Father through Christ. Labor to have here life everlasting begun in you, for else it will not be elsewhere enjoyed. Set God's judgment often before your eyes, that now examining yourself you may make diligent suit, and obtain, never to come unto judgment. Uncover your evils to God, that he may cover them. Beware of this anti-Christian trash. Defile not yourself in soul or body therewith, but accomplish holiness in the fear of God, and bear no yoke with unbelievers. Look for the coming of the Lord, which is at hand. By earnest prayer and godly life, hasten it. God our Father, accomplish his good work in you. Amen. Commend to me my good mother, Mistress Wilkinson, and to my very dear sister, Mistress Warcup. I shall daily commend you all to God, and I pray you do the like for me. John Bradford. To a friend of his, instructing him how he should answer his adversaries. My good brother, our merciful God and dear Father, through Christ, open your eyes effectually to see, and your heart ardently to desire, the everlasting joy which he hath prepared for his slaughter sheep, that is, for such as shirk not from his truth for any such storm's sake. Amen. When you shall come before the magistrates to give an answer of the hope which is in you, do it with all reverence and simplicity, and because you may be something afraid by the power of the magistrates and cruelty which they will threaten against you, I would you set before you the good Father Moses to follow his example, for he set the invisible God before his eyes of faith, and with them looked upon God in his glorious majesty and power, as with his corporal eyes he saw Pharaoh and all his fearful terrors. So do you, my dearly beloved, let your inward eyes give such light unto you, that as you know you are before the magistrates, so and much more, you and they also are present before the face of God, which will give such wisdom to you, fearing him and seeking his praise, as the enemies shall wonder at. And further, he will so order their hearts and doings, that they shall, will they, nil they, serve God's providence toward you, which you cannot avoid, though you would, as shall be most to his glory and your everlasting comfort. Therefore, my good brother, let your whole study be only to please God. Put him always before your eyes, for he is on your right hand, lest you should be moved. He is faithful, and never will suffer you to be tempted above that he will make you able to bear. Yea, every hair of your head he hath numbered, so that one of them shall not perish without his good will, which cannot but be good unto you, in that he has become your Father through Christ. And therefore, as he hath given you to believe in him, God increased this belief in us all. So doth he now graciously give unto you to suffer for his name's sake, the which you ought with all thankfulness to receive, in that you are made worthy to drink of the selfsame cup, which not only the very sons of God have drunk of before you, but even the very natural Son of God himself hath brought you good luck. Oh, he of his mercy, make us thankful to pledge him again. Amen. Because the chiefest matter they will trouble you and go about to deceive you withal is the sacrament, not of Christ's body and blood, but of the altar, as they call it, thereby destroying the sacrament which Christ instituted. I would you noted these two things. First, that the sacrament of the altar which the priest offereth in the Mass and eateth privately with himself is not the sacrament of Christ's body and blood instituted by him, as Christ's institution plainly written and set forth in the Scriptures, being compared to their using of it, plainly doth declare. Again, if they talk with you of Christ's sacraments instituted by him, whether it be Christ's body or no, answer them, that is, to the eyes of your reason, to your taste and corporal sense. It is bread and wine, and therefore the Scripture calleth it after the consecration so. Even so to the eyes, taste, and sense of your faith, which ascendeth to the right hand of God in heaven, where Christ sitteth. It is in very deed Christ's body and blood, which spiritually your soul feedeth on to everlasting life in faith, and by faith, even as your body presently feedeth on the sacramental bread and sacramental wine. By this means, as you shall not allow transubstantiation, nor any of their popish opinions, so shall you declare the sacrament to be a matter of faith, and not of reason, as the papists make it. For they deny God's omnipotency, in that they say Christ is not there, if bread be there. But faith looketh on the omnipotency of God, joined with his promise, and doubteth not but that Christ is able to give, that he promiseth us spiritually by faith, the bread still remaining in substance, as well as if the substance of bread were taken away. For Christ saith not in any place, there is no bread. But of this gear God shall instruct you, if you hang on his promise, and pray for the power and wisdom of his Spirit, which undoubtedly as you are bound to look for, praying for it, so he hath bound himself by his promise to give it, the which thing he grants unto us both, and to all his people, for his name's sake, through Christ our Lord. Amen. John Bradford. Certain godly men, whom he exhorteth to be patient under the cross and constant in the true doctrine which they have professed. My dearly beloved in the Lord, as in him I wish you well to fare, so I pray God, I and you may continually in his true service, that perpetually we may enjoy the same welfare, as here in hope, so in heaven indeed, and eternally. You know this world is not your home, but a pilgrimage, and place wherein God trieth his children. And therefore, as it knoweth you not, nor can know you, so I trust you know it, know not it, that is, you allow it not, nor in any point will seem so to do, although by many you occasion thereto. For this hot sun which now shineth burneth so sore, that the corn which is sown upon sand and stony ground beginneth to wither, that is, many which before times were taken for hardy gospelers, begin now for the fear of afflictions to relent, yea, to turn to their vomit again, thereby declaring that though they go from among us, yet were they never of us, or else they would have still tarried with us, and neither for gain nor loss have left us, either in word or in deed. As for their heart, which undoubtedly is double, and therefore in danger of God's curse, we have as much with us as the papists have with them, and more too by their own judgment. For they, playing wily, beguile themselves, think it enough inwardly to favor the truth, though outwardly they curry favor. What through with my body, they say, I do this or that, God knoweth my heart is whole with him. Ah, brother, if thy heart be whole with God, why dost thou not confess and declare thyself accordingly by word and fact? Either that which thou sayest thou believest is thy heart, in thy heart is good, or no. If it be good, why art thou ashamed of it? If it be evil, why dost thou keep it in thy heart? Is not God able to defend thee, adventuring thyself for his cause? Or will he not defend his worshippers? Doth not the Scripture say, And the eyes of the Lord are on them that fear him, and trust in his mercy? And whereto? Forsooth, to deliver their souls from death, and to feed them in the time of hunger. If this be true, as it is most true, why are we afraid of death, as though God could not comfort or deliver us, or would not, contrary to his promise? Why are we afraid of loss of our goods, as though God would leave them that fear him destitute of all good things, and so do against the most ample promises? Ah, faith, faith, how few feel thee nowadays. Full truly saith Christ, said Christ, that he should scarcely find faith when he came on earth. For if men believed these promises, they would never do anything outwardly, which inwardly they disallow. No example of men, how many soever they be, or how learned soever they be, can prevail in this behalf. For the pattern which we must follow is Christ himself, and not the more company or custom. His word is the lantern to lighten our steps, and not learned men. Company and custom are to be considered according to the thing they allow. Learned men are to be listened to and followed according to God's lore and law, for else the more part goeth to the devil. As custom causeth error and blindness, so learning, if it be not according to the light of God's word, is poison, and learned men the most pernicious. The devil is called demon for his cunning, and the children of the world are much wiser than the children of light in their generation. And I know the devil and his darlings have always, for the most part, more helps in this life than Christ's church and her children. They, the devil and his synagogue, I mean, have custom, multitude, unity, antiquity, learning, power, riches, honor, dignity, and promotions plenty, as always they have had, and shall have commonly, and for the most part, until Christ's coming, much more than the true church hath presently, heretofore have had, or hereafter shall have. For her glory, riches, and honor are not here. Her trial, cross, and warfare are here. And therefore, my dear hearts in the Lord, consider these things accordingly. Consider what you be, not worldlings, but God's children. Consider where you be, not at home, but in a strange country. Consider among whom you are conversant, even in the midst of your enemies, and of a wicked generation. And then I trust you will not so much muse at affliction, which you cannot be without being as you be, God's children, in a strange country, and in the midst of your enemies, except you would leave your captain Christ, and follow Satan for the muck of this world, rest and quietness, which he may promise you, and indeed think you shall receive it, by doing as he would have you to do. But my sweetheart, he is not able to pay that he promiseth. Peace and war come from God, riches and poverty, wealth and woe. The devil hath no power but by God's permission. If then God permit him a little on your goods, body or life, I pray you tell me, what can hurt you, as Peter saith, you being followers of godliness? Think you that God will not remember you in his time, as most shall be to your comfort? Can a woman forget the child of her womb? And if she should, yet will I not forget thee, saith the Lord. Look upon Abraham in his exile and misery. Look upon Jacob, Joseph, Moses, David, the prophets, apostles, and all the godly from the beginning. And my good brethren, is not God the same God? Is he a changeling? You have heard of the patience of Job, saith St. James, and you have seen the end, how that God is merciful, patient, and long-suffering. Even so I say unto you, that you shall find accordingly, if so be you patient. That is, if so be you, fear him, set his word before you, serve him thereafter, and if he lay his cross on you, bear it, with patience, the which you shall do when you consider it not according to the present sense, but according to the end. Therefore I heartily beseech you, and out of my bonds which I suffer for your sake, pray you, mine own sweethearts in the Lord, that you would cleave in heart and humble obedience to the doctrine taught you by me, and many others, my brethren. For we have taught you no fables nor tales of men, or our own fantasies, but the very word of God, which we are ready with our lives, God so enabling as we trust he will, to confirm, and by the shedding of our blood, in all patience and humble obedience, to the superior powers, to testify and seal up, as well that you might be more certain of the doctrine, as that you might be ready to confess the same before this wicked world, knowing that if we confess Christ and his truth before men, he will confess us before his Father in heaven. If so be we ashamed hereof for loss of life, friends, or goods, he will be ashamed of us before his Father and his holy angels in heaven. Therefore take heed for the Lord's sake, take heed. Take heed and defile not your bodies or souls with this Romish and anti-Christian religion set up amongst us again. But come away as the angel crieth, from amongst them in their idolatrous service, lest you be partakers of their iniquity. Hearken to your preachers as the Thessalonians did to Paul. That is, confer their sayings with the scriptures, and if they sound not thereafter, the morning light shall not shine upon them. Use much and hearty prayer for the spirit of wisdom, knowledge, humbleness, meekness, sobriety, and repentance, which we have great need of, because our sins have thus provoked our Lord's anger against us. But let us bear his anger, and acknowledge our faults with bitter tears and sorrowful sighs, and doubtless he will be merciful to us after his wonted mercy. The which thing he vouchsafed to do for his holy name's sake in Christ Jesus our Lord, to whom with the Father and the Holy Ghost be all honor, glory, praise, and everlasting thanks, from this time forevermore. Amen. Out of prison by yours and the Lord to command, John Bradford. A letter to Master George Eaton. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, recompense abundantly into your bosom, my dearly beloved, here and eternally, the good which from him by you I have continually received since my coming into prison. Otherwise can I never be able to requite your loving kindness here, than by praying for you, and after this life by witnessing your faith, declared to me by your fruits, when we shall come and appear together before the throne of our Savior Jesus Christ, whither, I thank God, I am even now a-going, ever looking where officers will come, and satisfy the precepts of the prelates, whereof, though I cannot complain, because I have justly deserved 100,000 deaths at God's hands by reason of my sins, yet I may and must rejoice, because the prelates do not persecute in me mine iniquities, but Christ Jesus and his verity, so that they persecute not me, they that hateth me, but they persecute Christ, they hate Christ. And because they can do him no hurt, for he sitteth in heaven and laugheth at them and their devices to scorn, as one day they shall feel. Therefore they turn their rage upon his poor sheep, as Herod their father did upon the infants. Great cause thereof I have to rejoice, that my dear Savior Christ will vouchsafe amongst many, to choose me to be a vessel of grace to suffer in me, who have deserved so often and justly to suffer for my sins, that I might be most assured I shall be a vessel of honor, in whom he will be glorified. Therefore, my right dear brother in the Lord, rejoice with me, give thanks for me, and cease not to pray, that God, for his mercy's sake, would make perfect the good he hath begun in me. And as for the doctrine which I have professed and preached, I do confess unto you in writing, as to the whole world, I shortly shall, by God's grace and suffering, that it is the very true doctrine of Jesus Christ, of his church, of his prophets, apostles, and all good men, so that if an angel should come from heaven and preach otherwise, the same were accursed. Therefore waver not, dear heart in the Lord, but be confirmed in it, and as your vocation requireth, when God so will, confess it, though it be perilous so to do. The end shall evidently show another manner of pleasure for so doing than the tongue can tell. Be diligent in prayer and watch therein. Use reverent reading of God's word. Set the shortness of this time before your eyes, and let not the eternity that is to come depart out of your memory. Practice in doing that you learn by reading and hearing. Decline from evil and pursue good. Remember them that be in bonds, especially for the Lord's cause, as members of your body and fellow heirs of grace. Forget not the afflictions of Sion and the oppression of Jerusalem. And God our Father shall give us his continual blessing through Christ our Lord, who guide us as his dear children forever. Amen. And thus I take my veil and farewell with you, dear brother, forever in this present life, so we shall meet in eternal bliss, whither our God and Father bring us shortly. Amen. God bless all your babes forever. Out of prison, this 8th of February, your afflicted brother for the Lord's cause, John Bradford. Another letter to Mrs. Ann Warcup. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, for his Christ's sake, increase in us faith, by which we may more and more see what glory and honor is reposed and safely kept in heaven, for all them that believe with the heart and confess Christ and his truth with the mouth. Amen, my dearly beloved. I remember that once heretofore I wrote unto you a veil or a farewell upon conjecture, but now I write my farewell to you in this life indeed, upon certain knowledge. My staff standeth at the door, I continually look for the sheriff to come for me, and I thank God I am ready for him. Now go I to practice that which I have preached. Now am I climbing up the hill. It will cause me to puff and to blow before I come to the cliff. The hill is steep and high, my breath is short, and my strength is feeble. Pray therefore to the Lord for me, that as I have now, through his goodness, even almost come to the top, I may by his grace be strengthened, not to rest till I come where I should be. O loving Lord, put out thy hand and draw me unto thee, for no man cometh but he whom the Father draweth. See, my dearly beloved, God's loving mercy, he knoweth my short breath and great weakness. As he sent for Elias in a fiery chariot, so sendeth he for me, for by fire my dross must be purified, that I may be fine gold in his sight. O unthankful wretch that I am, Lord, do forgive me mine unthankfulness. Indeed I confess, right dear to me in the Lord, that my sins have deserved hell fire much more than this fire. But lo, so loving is my Lord, that he converteth the remedy for my sins, the punishment for my transgressions, into a testimonial of his truth, and a testification of his verity, which the prelates do persecute in me, and not my sins. Therefore they persecute not me, but Christ in me, which I doubt not will take my part unto the very end. Amen. Oh, that I had so open a heart as could so receive, as I should do, this great benefit and unspeakable dignity, which God my Father offereth to me. Now pray for me, my dearly beloved, pray for me that I never shrink. I shall never shrink, I hope. I trust in the Lord, I shall never shrink, for he that always hath taken my part, I am assured, will not leave me when I have most need, for his truth and mercy's sake. O Lord, help me, into thy hands I commend me wholly, and the Lord is my trust. I care not what man can do unto me. Amen, amen. My dearly beloved, say you amen also, and come after, if so God call you. Be not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but keep company with him still. He will never leave you, but in the midst of temptation he will give you an outscape to make you able to bear the brunt. Use hearty prayer, reverently read and hear God's word, put it in practice, look for the cross, lift up your hands, for your redemption draweth nigh. Know that the death of God's saints is precipitous in his sight. Be merry in the Lord, pray for mitigation of God's heavy displeasure upon our country. God keep us forever, God bless us with his spiritual blessings in Christ, and thus I bid you farewell forever in this present life. Pray for me, for God's sake pray for me. God make perfect his good work begun in me. Amen. Out of prison, the 7th of February. Yours in the Lord, J. Bradford. In the story of Master Bradford, it was above rehearsed how a certain gentlewoman, being in trouble by her father and mother for not coming to Mass, sent her servant to visit Master Bradford in prison, who, tendering the woeful case of the gentlewoman, to the intent partly to confirm her with counsel, partly to relieve her oppressed mind with some comfort, directed this letter unto her, the contents whereof are these. To a certain godly gentlewoman, troubled and afflicted by her friends for not coming to the Mass. I wish unto you, right worshipful and my dearly beloved sister in the Lord, as to myself, the continual grace and comfort of Christ and of his holy word, through the operation of the Holy Spirit, who strengthen your inward man with the strength of God, that you may continue to the end in the faithful obedience of God's gospel, whereto you are called. Amen. I perceive by yourself, the last day when you were with me, how that you are in the schoolhouse and trial parlor of the Lord, which to me is, at the least it should be, a great comfort to see the number of God's elect by you increased, which are in that state thereof God hath not called many, as Paul saith. And as it is a comfort to me, so should it be a confirmation unto me, that the Lord, for his faithfulness' sake, will make perfect and finish the good he hath begun in you to the end. If then your cross be to me a comfort or token of your election, and a confirmation of God's continual favor, my dearly beloved, how much more ought it be so unto you, unto whom he hath not only given to believe, but also to come into the trace of suffering for his sake, and that not commonly of common enemies, but even of your own father, mother, and all your friends, I mean kinsfolks, as you told me, by which I see Christ's words to be true, how that he came to give his children such a peace with him, as the devil might not, nor may abide, and therefore stirreth up father and mother, sister and brother, rather than it should continue. But, my dear sister, if you cry with David to the Lord and complain to him, how that for conscience to him your father and mother have forsaken you, you shall hear him speak in your heart that he hath received you, and by this would have you to see how he maketh you here like to Christ, that elsewhere in heaven you might be like unto him. whereof you ought to be most assured, knowing that in time, even when Christ shall appear, you shall be like unto him, for he will make your body, which you now defile with, not with idolatrical service in going to Mass, like unto his own glorious and immortal body, according to the power whereby he is able to do all things. He will confess you before his Father, which do not deny this verity in word nor deed before your Father. He will make you to reign with him that now suffer for him and with him, and will reward you with himself and all the glory he hath, that now for his sake deny yourselves with all that ever you have. He will not leave you comfortless that seek no comfort but at his hand. Though for a little time you be afflicted, yet therein will he comfort and strengthen you, and at the length make you to be merry with him in such joy as is infinite and endless. He will wipe all the tears from your eyes. He will embrace you as your dear husband. He will, after he hath proved you, crown you with a crown of glory and immortality, such as the heart of man shall never be able to conceive in such sort as the thing is. He now beholdeth your steadfastness and striving to do his good will, and shortly will he show you how steadfast he is, and will be ready to do your will, and after you have fully resigned it to his will. Pledge him in his cup of the cross, and you shall pledge him in the cup of his glory. Desire to drink it before it be come to the dregs, whereof the wicked shall drink, and all those that, for fear of the cross and pledging the Lord, do walk with the wicked in betraying the fact and deeds, that which their heart embraceth for verity. The which thing if you should do, which God forbid, then, my dear mistress and sister in the Lord, you should not only lose all that I have before spoken, but much more infinitely of eternal joy and glory, but also be a castaway and partaker of God's most heavy displeasure and hellfire eternally, and so for a little ease, which you cannot tell how long it will last, to lose forever and ever all ease and comfort. For he that gathereth not with me, saith Christ, as no mass gospeler doth, scattereth abroad, according to that which we do in this body we shall receive, be it good or bad. If of our words we shall be judged to condemnation or salvation, much more then our facts and deeds. You cannot be partakers of God's religion and Antichrist's service, whereof the Mass is most principal. You cannot be a member of Christ's church and a member of the Pope's church. You must glorify God not only in soul and heart, but also in body and deed. You may not think that God requireth less of you, his wife, now than your husband did of you. If both heart and body your husband would have, shall Christ have less, trow you, which hath so bitterly and dearly bought it. If your husband could not admit an excuse how your heart is his only, if he would have taken your body in bed with another, do you think that Christ will allow your body at Mass, although your heart consenteth not to it? God esteemeth his children, not only of their hearts, but of their pure hands and works. And therefore in Elias' time he counted none to be his servants and people, but such as had not bowed the knees to Baal, as now he doth not in England account any other to be his darlings, which know the truth in heart and deny it with their deeds, as do our mass gospelers. We ought to desire above all things the sanctifying of God's holy name and the coming of his kingdom. And shall we then see his name blasphemed so horribly as it is at Mass, by making it a sacrifice propitiatory, and setting forth the false Christ of the priests and bakers making, to be worshipped as God and say nothing? The Jews rent their clothes asunder in seeing or hearing anything blasphemously done or spoken against God, and shall we yet come to church where Mass is and be mute? Paul and Barnabas rent their clothes to see the people of Lycaonia to offer sacrifice unto them. And shall we see sacrifice in God's service done to an inanimate creature and be mum? What thing helpeth more or so much Antichrist's kingdom as doth the Mass? And what destroyeth preaching and the kingdom of Christ upon earth more than it doth? And how can we then say, let thy kingdom come, and go to the Mass? How can we pray before God, thy will be done on earth, when we will do our own will, and the will of our father or friends? How pray we, deliver us from evil, which, knowing the Mass to be evil, do come to it? But what go I about to light a candle in the noonday, that is, to tell you that we may not go to Mass, or to the congregation, where it is, except it be to reprove it, and that all men, in so doing, do but dissemble both with God and man? And is dissembling now to be allowed? How long will men yet halt on both knees, saith God? Halting, saith St. Paul, bringeth out of the way, that is to say, out of Christ, which is the way, so that he which is not in him shall wither away and be cast into hellfire. for Christ will be ashamed of them before his Father, which be now ashamed of his truth before this wicked generation. Therefore, my good mistress, take good heed, for it had been better for you never to have known the truth, and therethrough to have escaped from papistical uncleanness, than now to return to it, making eftsoons your members, being members of righteousness, members of unrighteousness, as you do, if you do but go to the church where Mass is. Be pure, therefore, and keep yourself from all filth of the spirit and of the flesh. Abstain not only from all evil, but from all appearance of evil. And so the God of peace shall be with you, the glory of God shall govern you, the Spirit of God shall sanctify you, and be with you forever, to keep you from all evil, and to comfort you in all your distress and trouble, which is but short, if you consider the eternity you shall enjoy in glory and felicity in the Lord, which undoubtedly you shall not fail, but inherit forever, if so be you, as the elect child of God, put your trust in his mercy, call upon his name unfeignedly, and yield not over to the wicked world, but stick still against it unto the end. God, for his holy name's sake, who is properly the God of the widows, be your good and dear Father forever, and help you always, as I myself would be helping at his hands in all things, and especially in this his own cause. Amen. Amen. John Bradford. To one by whom he had received much comfort and relief in his trouble and imprisonment. The mercy of God in Christ, peculiar to his children, be evermore felt of you, my dearly beloved in the Lord. Amen. When I consider with myself the benefits which God hath showed unto me by your means, if I had so good and thankful a heart as I had, I could not with dry eyes give him thanks, for certainly they are very many and great. And now, being yet still the Lord's prisoner, I receive from him more benefits by you, for the which I think myself so much bound to you, my good brother, although you were but the instrument by whom God wrought and blessed me, that I look not to come out of your debt by any pleasure or service that I shall ever be able to do to you in this life. I shall heartily pray unto God, therefore, to requite you the good you have done to me for his sake. For I know that which you have done it simply in respect of God and his word. He therefore give you daily more and more to be confirmed in his truth and word, and so plentifully pour upon you the riches of his Holy Spirit and heavenly treasures laid up in store for you, that your corporal and earthly riches may be used of you as sacraments and significations thereof, the more to desire the one, that is, the heavenly, and the less to esteem the other, that is, the earthly. For Satan's solicitation is, so to set before you the earthly, that therein and thereby you should not have access to the consideration of the heavenly, but, as one bewitched, should utterly forget them, and altogether become a lover and worshipper of the earthly mammon, and so to fall to covetousness, and a desire to be rich, by that means to bring you into many noisome and hurtful lusts, as nowadays I hear of many which have utterly forsaken God and all his heavenly riches for Antichrist's pleasure, and the preserving of their worldly pelf, which they imagine to leave to their posterity, whereof they are uncertain, as they may be most certain they leave to them God's wrath and vengeance in his time to be sent by visitation, if they in time heartily repent not, and prevent not the same by earnest prayer. Wherein, my good brother, if you be diligent, hearty, and persevere, I am sure God will preserve you from evil, and from yielding yourself to do as the world now doth, by allowing in bodily fact in the Romish service that which the inward cogitation and mind doth disallow. But if you be cold in prayer, and come into consideration of earthly and present things simply, then shall you fall into faithless follies and wounding of your conscience, from which God evermore preserve you with your good wife and your babe Leonard and all your family, to the which I wish the blessing of God, now and forever, through Christ our Lord. Amen. I pray you give thanks to me for your old bedfellow, for his great friendship, for your sake showed to me when I was in the tower. John Bradford. To a faithful friend of his and his wife, resolving their doubt why they ought not to come to auricular confession. The merciful God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which loveth us as a most dear Father, and hath put upon him towards us the affection of a most tender mother towards her children, so that he can no less think upon us, although of ourselves we be most unworthy and deserve nothing less, Then she can think on her only begotten child and his distress. Yea, if she should forget her child, as some unnatural mother will do. Yet will he never forget us, although for a time he seemed to sleep, that we might occasion to call aloud and awake him. Just good God keep you, my dear brother Nathaniel, and your good yoke fellow, my heartily beloved sister in the Lord, in all things now and forever to his glory and your eternal comfort, and also of his goodness he grant you both the feeling of that hope, which undoubtedly he hath laid up in store for you, both far passing the store and provision, not only which you have made, but all the world is able to make, as I trust already he hath wrought it in you. But I beseech him to increase it more and more, and kindle in you a hearty longing for the enjoying of the same, the which once felt, and had indeed, then the means by the which we come thereto cannot be so greatly dreaded, as most men do dread them, because either they want this feeling, I mean of it of altogether, or else because the sense of this present time and things therein are as a mist to the hiding of those things from our sight, lest we should run and embrace them by hearty prayer, the spirit whereof God grant us, and indeed we should attain enough in this behalf if we continue therein. For auricular confession, wherein you desire my advice for your good yoke fellow and family, my most dear brother, I am as ready to give it as you to desire it, yea, more glad, for as much as half a suspicion was in me, at the least touching my dear sister, your wife, of a loathing of my advice, that too much had been given, whereas indeed I should lament my too little feeding you spiritually, as you, both out of prison and in prison, have fed me corporally. But as I always thought of her, so I yet think that she is the child of God, whom God dearly loveth, and will in his good time, to her eternal comfort, give her her heart's desire, in sure feeling and sensible believing of this, which I would she had often in her mind, namely, that he is her God and Father through Jesus Christ, our dear Lord and Savior. A greater service to God she cannot give than to believe this. If Satan say, she believeth not, to answer not him but the Lord, and to say, yea, Lord, help my unbelief and increase my poor faith, which Satan says is no faith, make him a liar, Lord, as always he hath been, is, and shall be. Undoubtedly, sooner or later, God will graciously hear her groans and keep all her tears in his bottle, yea, write them in his counting book, for he is a righteous God, and hath no pleasure in the death of his creature. He loveth mercy, he will return and show his mercy. He will cast all her sins and iniquities into the bottom of the sea, and the longer that he tarrieth, as he doth it, but to prove her, so the more liberally will he recompense her long looking, which no less pleaseth him than it grieveth now her outward Adam. For the mortification whereof God useth this cross, and therefore, if she desire to bear the same, doubtless God will make her able to bear it, and in presumption of his goodness and strength, let her cast herself wholly upon him, for he is faithful, and will assuredly confirm, and bring to a happy end, that good which graciously he hath begun in her, the thing which I desire him to do for his own glory and namesake. Amen. Amen. And now to the matter. Confession auricular, as it was first used and instituted, which was, by the way, of a council asking, I take to be amongst those traditions which are indifferent, that is, neither unlawful nor necessarily binding us, except the offense of the weak could not be avoided. But to consider it as it is now used, I write to you, but as I think, and what my mind is, which follow no further than good men, by God's word do allow it. To consider it, I say, as it is now used, methinketh it is plainly unlawful and wicked, and that for these causes. First, because they make it a service of God, and a thing which pleaseth God of itself, I will not say meritorious. This bringer, my brother, can tell you at large how great this evil is. Secondly, because they make it of necessity, so that he or she that useth it not is not taken for a good Christian. Thirdly, because it requireth of itself an impossibility, that is, the numbering and telling of all our sins, which no man perceiveth, much less can utter. Fourthly, because it establisheth and confirmeth, at the least alloweth, praying to saints. Per cor sanctum Mariam, you must say, or the priest for you. Fifthly, because it is very injurious to the liberty of the gospel, the which to affirm an example in fact, I take to be a good work, and dear in God's sight. Sixthly, because, as it is used, it is a note, yea, a very sinew of the Popish Church, and therefore we should be so far from allowing the same that we should think of ourselves happy to lose anything in bearing witness thereagainst. Seventhly, because instead of counsel, thereat you should receive poison, or if you refuse it, under Sir John's Benedicite, you should no less there be wounded in the briars. Eighthly, because the end and purpose why we go thither is for the avoiding of the cross, that is, for our own cause and not for Christ's cause, or for our brethren's commodity. For in that they make it so necessary a thing, and a worshipping of God, it cannot be against Christ, and the freedom of his gospel. And the same thing teacheth us that it is against the commodity of our brethren, which either be weak, either be strong, either be ignorant, either be obstinate. If they be weak, by your resorting to it, they be made more weak. If they be strong, you do what you can to infirm their strength. If they be ignorant, therein you help to keep them by your fact. If they be obstinate, your resorting to it cannot but rock them asleep in their obstinate error of the necessity of this rite and ceremony. These causes recited do show you what I think in this, but my thinking must no further bind you than a man's thought should do, except the same be grounded upon God's word, which bindeth indeed, as I think they do. I doubt not but you, weighing these causes, and especially two, the first and the last, if you pray to God for his Spirit to direct you, and thereto ask the advice of this my good brother and other godly learned men, I doubt not, I say, but you shall be guided to do that which is best in God's sight, although in the sight of the world, perhaps you should be counted foolish and precise. But be at a point with yourselves as the disciples of Christ, which had forsaken themselves, to follow not your will, but God's will, as you daily pray the Lord's Prayer. The cross of Christ be willing to carry, lest you carry the cross of the world, the flesh, or the devil. One of these four crosses you must carry. Three of them bring to hell, and therefore the more part goeth that way, which is a broad way. Only the fourth bringeth to heaven. But few go that way, as well because the way is straight, as also because few walk in it. Howbeit, though it be straight, it is but short. And the few are many, if you consider the godly, as the patriarchs, prophets, apostles, martyrs, confessors, and Christ Jesus with all his guard and train. Think not scorn to come after them which are gone before you, and after them which now go before you, in whose number I trust I am appointed to be one. And I beseech you pray for me, that God would vouch me worthy that honor. Our sins deserve plagues, prison, and the loss of all that ever we have. Therefore, if God remove our sins out of sight, and send us prison, or loss of goods and living for his name's sake, oh, how happy are we! My dear hearts in the Lord, consider this gear, and be assured that he which loseth anything for Christ's sake, the same in his posterity shall find it here and in heaven elsewhere. As for unableness to answer for your faith, it shall be enough to will them to dispute with your teachers. Faith standeth not in disputing. I think few, if it came to disputing, could defend the Godhead of Christ and many other articles. I speak for the simple sort. Pray for me. Lack of paper maketh to sin. Commend me to my good brother, R.B., and my good sister, his wife. I pray them to pray for me. I trust by this bearer to hear how you do. John Bradford. To a dear friend, N., and his wife. God's mercy in Christ I wish you to feel, my dear brother, with my faithful sister, your wife, now and forever. Amen. Having this occasion, I could not but write something, as well to put myself in remembrance of my duty to Godward for you, but in thankfulness and prayer as to put you in remembrance of me, and your duty towards God for me, and praying for me, for I dare not say in thankfulness for me, not that I would have you to give no thanks to God for his wonderfully great and sweet mercies towards me and upon me in Christ his Son, but because I have not deserved it at either of your hands. For ye both know right well, at least my conscience doth accuse me, how that I have not only exhorted and taught you, as both my vocation and your deserts required, to walk worthy of that vocation which God hath made you worthy of, and, with trembling and fear, to work out your salvation, that is, the fear of God to give yourselves to great vigilancy and prayer for the increase of faith, and to a wary circumspection in all your conversation, not only in works and words, but also in thoughts, because God is a searcher of the heart, and out of the heart it cometh that defileth in God's sight. I have, I say, not only done this, but also have given you example of negligence in prayer, watching, fasting, talking, and doing, so that woe to me for giving you such offense. Partly for this cause, dear brother and sister, God hath cast me here, that I might repent me and turn to him, and that ye might also, by this correction upon me, be more diligent to redress these things in others, if they in your conscience do accuse you. My dearly beloved, heavily is God's anger fallen upon us all. Doleful is this day. Now hath Antichrist all his power again. Now is Christ's gospel trodden underfoot. Now are God's people a derision and prey for the wicked. Now is the greatest plague of all plagues fallen, the want of God's word. And all these we have, yea, I alone have justly deserved. Oh, that as I write, I alone, I could with David and with Jonas in heart say so, but I do not. I see not how grievously I have sinned, and how great a misery has fallen, for mine unthankfulness for God's word, for mine hypocrisy in professing, preaching, hearing, and speaking of God's word, for my not praying to God for the continuance of it, for my not living of it thoroughly, as it requireth, etc. I will speak nothing of my manifest evils, for they are known to you well enough. Dear brother and sister, with me say ye the like for your own parts, and with me join your hearts, and let us go to our Heavenly Father, and for his Christ's sake beseech him to be merciful unto us, and to pardon us. O good Father, it is we that have deserved the taking away of thy word. It is we that have deserved these thy just plagues fallen upon us. We have done amiss. We have dealt unjustly with thy gospel. We have procured thy wrath, and therefore just art thou in punishing us. Just art thou in plaguing us, for we are very miserable. But good Lord and dear Father of mercy, whose justice is such that thou wilt not punish the poor souls of this realm, which yet have not thus sinned against thee as we have done, for many yet never heard thy word, for our trespasses, and whose mercy is so great that thou wilt put our iniquities out of thy remembrance for Christ's sake. If we repent and believe, grant us, we beseech thee, true repentance and faith, that we, having obtained pardon for our sins, may, through thy Christ, get deliverance from the tyranny of Antichrist now oppressing us. O good Father, which hast said that the scepter of the wicked should not long lie upon and over the just, lest they should put forth their hands to iniquity also, make us just, we pray thee in Christ's name, and cut us under the cords of them that hate Zion. Let not the wicked people say, where is their God? Thou art God, thou our God, art in heaven, and dost whatsoever pleaseth thee upon the earth. Oh, that thou wouldst in the meanwhile, before thou dost deliver us, that I say, thou wouldst open our eyes to see all these plagues to come from thee, and all other that shall come, whatsoever they be, public or private, that they come not by chance nor by fortune, but that they come even from thy hand, and that justly and mercifully, justly because we have and do deserve them, not only by our birth poison, still sticking and working in us, but also by our former evil life past, which by this punishment and all other punishments thou wouldst have us to call to our remembrance and to set before us, that thou mightst put them from before thee, whereas they stand so long as they are not in our remembrance, to put them away by repentance. Mercifully, O Lord, God dost thou punish, God dost thou punish in that thou dost not correct to kill, but to amend, that we might repent our sins, ask mercy, obtain it freely in Christ, and begin to suffer for righteousness' sake, to be part of thy house, whereat thy judgment beginneth, to be partakers of the affections of thy church, and thy Christ, that we might be partakers of the glory of the same, to weep here, that we might rejoice elsewhere, to be judged in this world, that we might with thy saints judge hereafter the world, to suffer with Christ, that we might reign with him, to be like to Christ in shame, that we might be like to him in glory, to receive our evils here, that we might with poor Lazarus find rest elsewhere. Rest, I say, that such a rest as the eye hath not seen, the ear hath not heard, nor hath the heart of man is able to conceive. Oh, that our eyes were open to see this, that the cross cometh from thee to declare thy justice and thy mercy, and here too, that we might see how short a time the time of suffering is, how long a time the time of rejoicing is, to them that suffer here, but to them that will not, how long and miserable a time is appointed and prepared, a time without time in eternal woe and perdition, too horrible to be thought upon. From the which, keep us, dear Father, and give us more light and soul to see this gear, and how that all thy dearest children have carried the cross of grievous affliction in this life, in whose company do thou place us, and such a cross lay upon us, as thou wilt make us able to bear, to thy glory and our salvation in Christ, for whose sake we pray thee to shorten the days of this our great misery fallen upon us most justly. In the mean season, give us patience, repentance, faith, and thy eternal consolation. Amen, amen, amen. And thus, dear hearts, I have talked, methinks, a little while with you, or rather, we have all talked with God. Oh, that God would give us his spirit of grace and prayer. My dearly beloved, pray for it. As for yourselves, so for me, and that God would vouchsafe to make me worthy to suffer with a good conscience for his name's sake. Pray for me, and I shall do the likes for you. This 20th of December, by him whom by this bringer you shall learn, I pray you give my commendations to all that love me in the Lord. Be merry in Christ, for one day in heaven we shall meet and rejoice together forevermore. Amen. My good brother, Augustine Berner. Mine own good Augustine, the Lord of mercy bless thee, my dear brother, forever. I have good hope that if you come late at night, I shall speak with you. But come as secretly as you can, albeit in the mean season, if you can, and as you can, learn what Master G hath spoken to Dr. Story and others. The cause of all this trouble, both to my keeper and me, is thought to come by him. It is said that I shall be burned in Smithfield, and that shortly the Lord's will be done. Behold, here I am, Lord, send me. Ah, mine own sweet friend, I am now alone, lest I should make you and others worse. If I should live, I would more warily use the company of God's children than ever I have done. I will bear the Lord's anger because I have sinned against him. Commend me to my most dear sister, for whom my heart bleedeth. The Lord comfort her and strengthen her unto the end. I think I have taken my leave of her forever in this life, but in eternal life we shall most assuredly meet. The praise of the Lord, and praise the Lord continually. I have now taken a more certain answer of death than ever I did, and yet not so certain as I think I should do. I am now as a sheep appointed to the slaughter. Ah, my God, the hour is come. Glorify thy most unworthy child. I have glorified thee, saith this my sweet Father, and I will glorify thee. Amen. Ah, mine own bowels, praise God for me, and pray for me, for I am his hope. I hope he will never forsake me, though I have above all others most deserved it. I am the most singular example of his mercy. Praise be his name, therefore, forever. Cause Mrs. Pierre Point to learn of the sheriff, Master Chester, what they purpose to do with me, and know, if you can, whether there be any writ forth for me. I am like to an owl in the house, and as a sparrow alone in the housetop. Ah, mine Augustine, how long shall God's enemies thus triumph? I have sent you this of the baptism of children to write out. When this is done, you shall have other things. Pray, pray, mine own dear heart, on whom I am bold. The keeper telleth me that it is death for any to speak with me, but yet I trust that I shall speak with you. John Bradford. To these letters of Master Bradford above specified, here is also adjoined another letter of the said Bradford, written to certain of his faithful friends worthy of all Christians to be read, wherein is described a lively comparison between the old man and the new, also between the law and the gospel, containing much fruitful matter of divinity, necessary for Christian consciences to read and understand. A letter of Master Bradford describing the comparison between the old man and the new, etc. A man that is regenerate and born of God, the which thing that every one of us be, our baptism, the sacrament of regeneration, doth require under pain of damnation. And therefore let every one of us with the Virgin Mary say, Be it unto me, O Lord, according to thy word, according to the sacrament of baptism, wherein thou hast declared our adoption, and let us lament the doubting hereof in us, striving against it, as we shall be made able of the Lord. A man, I say, that is regenerate consisteth of two men, as a man may say, namely, of the old man and of the new man. The old man is like to a mighty giant, such a one as was Goliath, for his birth is now perfect, but the new man is like unto a little child, such a one as was David, for his birth is not perfect until the day of his general resurrection. The old man, therefore, is more strong, lusty, and stirring than is the new man, because the birth of the new man is but begun now, and the old man is perfectly born. And as the old man is more stirring, lusty, and stronger than the new man, so is the nature of him clean contrary to the nature of the new man, as being earthly and corrupt with Satan's seed, the nature of the new man being heavenly and blessed with the celestial seed of God. So that one man, inasmuch as he is corrupt with the seed of the serpent, is an old man, And inasmuch as he is blessed with the seed of God from above, he is a new man. And as inasmuch as he is an old man, he is a sinner and an enemy to God. So inasmuch as he is regenerate, he is righteous and holy, and a friend to God. The seed of God preserving him from sin, so that he cannot sin, as the seed of the serpent, wherewith he is corrupt even from his conception, inclineth him, yea, and forceth him to sin, and nothing else but to sin, so that the best part in man before regeneration in God's sight is not only an enemy, but enmity itself. One man, therefore, which is regenerate, well may be called always just, and always sinful, just in respect to God's seed and his regeneration, sinful in respect of Satan's seed and his first birth. Betwixt these two men, therefore, there is continual conflict, and war most deadly. The flesh and the old man, by reason of his birth that is perfect, doth often for a time prevail against the new man, being but a child in comparison, and that in such sort as not only others, but even the children of God themselves, think that they be nothing else but old, and that the spirit and seed of God is lost and gone away. Whereas, yet notwithstanding, the truth is otherwise, the spirit and seed of God at length appearing again, and dispelling away the clouds which cover the sun of God's seed from shining, as the clouds in the air do the corporal sun, so that sometimes a man cannot tell, by any sense, that there is any sun, the clouds and wind so hiding it from our sight. Even so, our cecity or blindness and corruption and corrupt affections do often shadow the sight of God's seed and God's children, as though they were plain reprobates. Whereof it cometh that they, praying according to their sense, but not according to the truth, desire of God to give them again his spirit, as though they had lost it, and he had taken it away, which thing God never doth indeed, although he maketh us to think so for a time, for always he holdeth his hand under his children in their falls, that they lie not still as others do which are not regenerate. And this is the difference betwixt God's children, which are regenerate and elect before all times in Christ, and the wicked always, that the elect lie not still continually in their sins, as do the wicked, but at the length do return again by reason of God's seed, which is in them, hid as a sparkle of fire in the ashes, as we may see in Peter, David, Paul, Mary, Magdalene, and others. For these, I mean God's children, God hath made all things in Christ Jesus, to whom he hath given his dignity, that they should be his inheritance and spouses. This our inheritor, Christ Jesus, God with God, light of light, co-eternal and co-substantial with the Father and with the Holy Ghost, to the end that he might become our husband, because the husband and the wife must be one body and flesh, hath taken our nature upon him, communicating with it and by it in his own person, to us all his children, his divine majesty, as Peter saith, and so is become flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone substantially, as we are become flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone spiritually, all that ever we have pertaining to him, yea, even our sins, as all that ever he hath pertaineth unto us, even his whole glory. So that if Satan should summon us to answer for our deaths or sins, in that the wife is no suable person, but the husband, we may well bid him enter his action against our husband Christ, and he will make him a sufficient answer. For this end, I mean that we might be coupled and married thus to Christ, and so be certain of salvation, and at godly peace with God in our consciences, God hath given his holy word, which hath two parts, as now the children of God do consist of two men. One part of God's word being proper to the old man, and the other part of God's word being proper to the new man. The part properly pertaining to the old man is the law, and the part properly pertaining to the new man is the gospel. The law is a doctrine which commandeth and forbiddeth, requiring, doing, and avoiding. Under it, therefore, are contained all precepts, threatenings, promises, upon conditions of our doing and avoiding, etc. The gospel is a doctrine which always offereth and giveth, requiring faith on our behalf, not as of worthiness or as a cause, but as a certificate unto us, and therefore under it are contained all the free and sweet promises of God, as I am the Lord thy God, etc. In those that be of years of discretion, it requireth faith, not as a cause, but as an instrument whereby we ourselves may be certain of our good husband Christ, and of his glory, and therefore when the conscience feeleth itself disquieted for fear of God's judgment against sin, she may in no wise look upon the doctrine pertaining to the old man, but on the doctrine only that pertaineth to the new man, in it not looking for that which it requireth, that is faith, because we never believe as we should, but only on it which offereth, which it offereth, and which it giveth, that is, on God's grace and eternal mercy and peace in Christ, so shall she be in quiet when she looketh for it, altogether out of herself in God's mercy in Christ Jesus, in whose lap, if she lay her head with St. John, then she is happy and find quietness indeed. When she feeleth herself quiet, then, in God's name, let her look on the law, and upon such things as it requireth, thereby to bridle and keep down the old Adam, to slay that Goliath, for whom she must needs keep the sweet promises, being the bed wherein her spouse and she meet and lie together. For as the wife will keep her bed only for her husband, although in other things she is content to have fellowship with others, as to speak, sit, eat, drink, go, etc., so our consciences, which are Christ's wives, must needs keep the bed, that is, God's sweet promises, alonely for ourselves and for our husband, there to meet together, to embrace and laugh together and be joyful together. If sin, the law, the devil, or anything would creep into the bed and lie there, then complain to thy husband Christ, and forthwith you shall see him play Phineas' part. Thus, my dearly beloved, I have given you, in a few words, the sum of all the divinity which a Christian conscience can want.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at PuritanDownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at PuritanDownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan Hard Drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwater's Revival Books.